Hour 3, triple option with RBKD. We got the All-American Michael B. Jordan. We've got Brad Kellner.
Oh, that wasn't me?
That wasn't you.
Oh.
Macaulay Culkin.
We need
to get some better comps for BK. He's been cool about this, and we've just been having fun with lesbian
Macaulay
actresses.
Macaulay Culkin.
Including Macaulay.
I want to say Trey got that one.
You got Macaulay Culkin?
I want to say Trey got that one, too.
Okay.
Yeah, I might do that out there for him.
I'm Kevin Dunn. I'll take Jason Sudeikis.
That's a good one.
I'll take it.
You.
I will take that one. Heard some funny ones, though, too, for really all of us. So we are casting the horn. We've been talking about a lot of stuff. We will get to Texas football and some Sark audio coming up. But you said you had a good one for BK during the break that actually works. Who is it?
Yeah, and I know BK probably doesn't watch this show, so he probably doesn't know the character. He's Timothy Simons, he's on Veep, the show Veep.
Okay.
And he's Jonah on the show Veep. That is a great BK. He's not a doppelganger, but a resemblance, a likeness, if you will. Probably not. BK's not going to like because he's not like ridiculously good looking or anything. But in terms of playing him
in a
movie.
So he's not like me at all.
BK's not a bad looking guy.
He's not a bad looking guy. But
me? I'm a great-looking guy.
No, I was talking about Timothy Simons.
Sure you were.
You know, but he's not. BK's a more handsome.
Rod, you're usually good at this, and you've had some good ones. I don't see this at all.
Yeah, you got to see him in the Veep show. The stuff that his pictures online probably won't do it justice. You got to see him in the character.
Okay.
Like playing the character in Veep. Jonah.
All right.
Ryan is his name.
There's a couple of Stifler texts coming in for me.
Ooh. Stifler.
Ooh.
I'd rather be played by Stifler's mom. I'd rather play her.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I was about to say, I wish you were Stifler, and then I was like, no, because I don't want to. Yeah.
How about the most original text we've had thus far? Anyone say Kevin Hart for Rod yet?
There you go.
No.
Exactly. Yeah.
No. Rod said it's too easy. Rod gets the comp, but it's too easy.
Yeah.
I'm going to need my white brethren out there to think outside the box.
We get those texts on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Kevin Hart thing is exactly.
Yeah.
We asked for the movie. Kevin Hart needs to be eliminated because we talk about Kevin Hart and compare me to Kevin Hart every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's true. There's one for Chad when he actually had the mullet and long hair. It's an ID he had either in high school or college. And, of course, Chad keeps everything, so he had it. And he showed it to us a long time ago. And people used to say he looked like Kevin Bacon. Kind of a strung-out, druggy Kevin Bacon,
which
Chad wasn't. But, yeah, actually with hair, you could see it back in the day.
Kevin Bacon.
It wasn't Tripod. That wasn't his name at Waxahachie.
Interesting.
Or more degrees of separation.
I don't know if I see the Kevin Bacon thing.
I'm telling you, you got to see Chad with hair and what he looked like back in the day because he always had kind of a good redneck tan working with tennis.
Okay.
And his face always looked even tanner than his neck did. It would work. All right, we'll continue to take those on the Specs Text line. We'll get back to that. We got baseball coming up at 6:15. But, of course, we want to talk some Texas football as they continue workouts. And all the people that cover it, we're so lucky with all the different sites, but also really good sports journalists that cover Texas. And so we get a lot of different stuff and different quotes and they'll ask different questions. And some of that can be the same. But looking at it today, some guys who really stood out. Guys, I'll just throw, and we're going to play some Sark audio, but I'll just give you a name that it was good to hear, right? There's an offensive lineman I'm thinking of, and there's also a linebacker. He really said David Benda's flying around and flying all over the field. And we've talked about the lack of depth there, especially with Juwan Mitchell going into the portal. BK, I mean, that's the other thing, too. I tend to trust him more with his comments. He's been pretty measured. There's not been any Ohio State or Tom Herman stuff. Like, this is the best offensive line I've ever seen or I've ever worked with. But for him to say Benda's flying around, that's good news.
That's good to hear. Yeah, this team does not have a lot of depth at linebacker. There's not a lot of talent at linebacker. And David Benda is going to be one of those guys that has to step up this season. I mean, it's David Benda and Jalen Ford. Those are the two guys I'm looking at the most this spring. You mentioned Juwan Mitchell entering the portal, Marvion Overshown out for the spring. We know he'll have one of those starting positions in the fall, but him being out in the spring gives a lot more opportunity for guys like David Benda and Jalen Ford. So I love to hear that. I mean, hopefully David Benda can step up, former four-star kid, a guy who transitioned to running back for a few months 2 years ago. So when I heard that, I was like, well, David Benda must not be a very good linebacker.
I did the same thing.
Like, I know
thing.
The running back room.
I did the same thing.
The running back room at the time for Texas was very shorthanded, so it was more of a need than a want. But, you know, anytime I hear that someone's transitioning from one side of the football to the other, I just assume they weren't very good at their original side of the football. So to hear high praise from Steve Sarkisian for David Benda is a good sign, Rod, because they need it. I mean, any positive news you can get from that linebacker room, you will absolutely take, because there's been a lot of negativity there the last few months.
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons to take the evaluations of Sark with a little bit more legitimacy than Tom Herman's was because, I mean, Sark's admitted he's playing one-on-ones, mm-hmm. basically starters versus starters.
We're finding out more.
Defensively, offensively, and on special teams all throughout their spring. He said, I think he said no, close to 90% of their reps are starters versus starters. And I know they're throwing in different guys to rotate them with the starting group and with the first team. But, yeah, I think that gives you a higher level of intensity. It probably gives you a little bit more accurate evaluation. And it gives you probably a little bit better overall thorough view of what the strengths and weaknesses are of your team, because you got, oh, man, if we're going best on best and our offensive line can't hold up, then you know, man, the offensive line is probably going to need some infusion of talent or some schematic advantage.
Yeah, I agree. So he mentioned David Benda, saw Brian Davis with a tweet, was also talking about how Sark said that Denzel Okafor has been really yep. good. So Denzel Okafor, we're going on like Kevin Wattler time here, right? What are we on, 6 years? BK, it'd be easy because we've talked about a lot of different names at that offensive line position and guys that, as Rod's talked about, they're cross-training, so we're trying to figure out who's going to fit where. Okafor, I know Kerstetter is out, so we'll see how he plays into it, but Okafor's a guy who I just had kind of written off.
And Perry Ellis thinks Denzel Okafor right. has been in college too long.
Carlos Huerta said, move on, man.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to monitor Steve Sarkisian a lot over the next couple of weeks.
You stalking him?
No, I'm not stalking him. I will be stalking his press conferences. I wonder if he's just the guy who's going to praise a different cat every day. Like, I'm going to really start paying attention to who he praises 2-3 weeks down the road. You know,
fair.
Just
yeah, I know what you're saying.
Because there was that 1 week-long COVID pause. There's only been like 4 or 5 spring practices. So I wonder if this is, yeah, confidence-building tactics from Sark, or if he just wants to give different names to the media for various reasons. But I want to hear certain guys being mentioned over and over again. And some guys we have, like Jordan Whittington, his name has been mentioned a bunch by Steve Sarkisian. So I'm a huge believer in Jordan Whittington being really, really good and making a tremendous impact
Anthony Cook.
On this coaching staff. Anthony Cook's name has been mentioned a few times. Rojo's name has been mentioned a few times. So I really want to pay attention to the guys that I hear from Steve Sarkisian more than once. And hey, maybe Sark will talk about Denzel Okafor and David Benda during his next media availability. And maybe those guys are doing really, really well. But the guys that we hear more than once, I'll put more stock into that from Steve Sarkisian because, yeah, I do think this could just be confidence-building tactics from the coach right now.
Rod, there's a lot of names at the offensive line. I think BK brings an objective and probably a reasoned point to that, finally.
Every once in a while.
No, that and I try and do that a lot, too, but maybe I do it too much, that we got to kind of hold our horses and that this could be tactical or there could be some reasons why Sark's mentioning names. Or it could just be Denzel Okafor is playing well and he's got a new offensive line coach and he's in his sixth year.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be disappointed if he is manufacturing information like that because he's supposed to be so genuine.
Yeah. Right?
I was hoping, oh, he's so genuine. Oh, look how genuine he is. He's just a genuine, authentic, real thing. So if
now
he
that
comes
was Kevin
in there,
Hart.
No, I'm just saying, like, that's what everybody loves about yeah. him. Oh, yeah. Relationships, authentic.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, Tom Herman was so fake. He's so real. So if you come in here now, he's just throwing out
he's
random
genuine.
Information. Yeah, mm-hmm. that has no legitimacy or ain't no real credit to it. Yeah, I'd be disappointed.
Sure. And look, maybe
I don't think that's the case, but it could be. You can't be right about
that. Maybe it's not Sark doing that. Maybe it's, you know, the guy just had a really good day.
Yeah.
Like one really good day of practice, which is great. Like, I assume Sark, because of the authenticity and the genuine nature that he seems to come in with day in and day out, he's probably not doing too much smoke blowing, but I'm looking for just consistency. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want repeated name drops for these guys versus just one before I can feel really, really confident about a guy being an impact player for this team. And I'm also basing it off of what I've seen from these players in the past.
Yeah.
Like with Jordan Whittington. Even if Jordan Whittington was only mentioned once by Steve Sarkisian, I'd be like, okay, I know that guy's good. Like, the big question for him is, can he stay healthy? But if he stays healthy, he's going to be a stud. With a guy like Denzel Okafor, who's been here for 5 years and hasn't really been a consistent starter on this offensive line, on an offensive line that has struggled more often than not during his Texas tenure, I'm not going to put in a bunch of stock in him getting one mention during spring practice. Like, I'm still going to be in wait and see mode for a dude like that.
Yeah. No, I agree. But when he says he is playing as good as anyone up front, I warned him, like, Sark, well, yeah, if you want to blow some smoke, fine. Don't double down on the smoke. That's what Tom Herman did. Doubling down on, this is the best offensive line I've ever seen as a head coach. Like, oh, Lord, what did you just come from Ohio State where they won a national title? Best offensive line I've ever seen as a coach.
And it was that offensive line, the Texas offensive line.
So
he also mentioned Tope Amade.
He mentioned Tope Amade. So I agree. BK makes a really good point. It could be he knows these guys are going to see their names in social media, so it will help their self-esteem and their confidence. And ultimately, that's his goal, too, is to improve these players' confidence. And if that's going to help them be a better player, then mission accomplished. But, yeah, he's saying that, Denzel Okafor is playing the best of anyone up front, which I'm with BK. I find hard to believe.
Yeah. No, it's
because I have never seen that.
I guess this Kyle Flood must be doing some different things, What the hell did he come in and do and flip it around? I don't know if you guys – and, Rod, I don't know if Rod's ran of the day you're going to get into, because I saw you tweeting about it, about kind of the robotic comment.
I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Well, yeah, I'll be a buckshot, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get into that a little bit, so –
a guy that I know is going to be really good for this football team, regardless of how many times Steve Sarkisian mentions his name during these media availabilities, is Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, I'm sold on that.
And look, we all remember what happened in 2020. Maybe the biggest frustration for Texas fans last season was the lack of playing time for Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
He did end up with more carries than any other running back on the Texas roster, but for a while it was Keontae Ingram, then Rojo, then Bijan. Then it was Rojo getting a lot of the run, and it just felt like Bijan was an afterthought, despite the fact that he was putting up ridiculous numbers, despite the fact that he was a five-star and clearly had the most potential of any of those Texas running backs last year. So a lot of Texas fans are hoping that we see more Bijan Robinson in 2021, and you're seeing Vegas odds out there that has Bijan Robinson as a top 10 Heisman candidate going into next season. So the optimism is not only sky-high here in Austin and around Longhorn Nation. College football pundits are taking notice, and they saw what Bijan Robinson did last year. So we've got a couple of cuts here, but somebody asked Steve Sarkisian about his running back philosophy and whether or not he is a sort of bell cow guy where he likes to rely on one running back to get the bulk of the carries, or if he's a guy who likes to split the load a little bit within his running backs. Here is Steve Sarkisian talking about that.
Well, I think some of those years it was out of necessity. If you only have one back, that's the guy you got to hand the ball to. You try to give the ball to your best players when you can. We're in a unique situation. Clearly I think Bijan coming off of the year he had last year is a very good football player. But we talked about Jordan Whittington, but another guy who's kind of fallen into that same category as Jay Witt has been Roshan. Roshan has done everything we've asked from the day we've got here. He's worked really hard in the weight room. He's practicing really well, and he went out and played really well today. So we might be in a little different space as it pertains to one back versus two backs, sharing carries, one lead dog, whatever that is. I do believe whoever it is back there, I think the running back, kind of frames the identity of your football team. And we pride ourselves on being a physical football team and being a mentally tough football team. And I think that a lot of that kind of the running back embodies that with our ability to run it and get the tough yards and score in the low red and convert on third downs and things of that nature. So, but both those guys are off to a good start.
There's Steve Sarkisian talking running backs, and that's been a recurring theme for Sark, Rod B. Sark is a big believer in the running back, and he talked about how the running back position kind of embodies the personality of a football team. Did you like what you heard, though? I mean, we didn't get a super specific answer from Sark in terms of how he's going to distribute the carries for this Texas football team next year, but did you like what you heard from Sark, and what would be your optimal situation in terms of splitting carries for the running backs this season?
I loved what I heard. I'm glad he's a little vague because he doesn't know just yet, right? He doesn't know exactly how he's going to weaponize these running backs. He doesn't know how he's going to divide the carries. All he knows is if you look at the most talented positions on the 48, because I think what he's starting to realize is running back may be it. In terms of the highest upside and overall depth of the position, when you start looking at all the guys who are coming in, and Danny Young, a veteran presence in there at the running back room as well, and Rojo and his leadership, and Bijan. So I think we're leaning toward, and I hope so, because it sounds like he's leaning toward, I am going to build an offense that is committed to playing the best players and weaponizing my best players and maximizing them. And that may be 11 in 11 personnel, one back, one tight end. It may be in 21 personnel, two backs, one tight end. It may be with two tailbacks on the field. Maybe in 20 personnel, two backs, zero tight ends. Maybe it's multiple tight ends. Maybe it's
maybe
12
it's
personnel. Yeah, maybe it's 22. Who else? I think he's trying to figure out, all right, I'm going to go with where my strengths are. And that's why I think you're going to end up seeing Bijan and Rojo on the field at the same time. It's something that I've been clamoring for the last 2 years, to have more two back formations. And all you have to do really is to teach one of those backs, and they're all capable, teach one of them how to be a blocker, how to be an effective blocker. That's it. And I thought when Mike Yurcich came in, Texas was actually going to utilize more two-back sets. Because remember, when Mike Yurcich was the OC at Oklahoma State, that's how they beat Texas.
Yeah.
With corn dog Taylor Cornelius, mm-hmm. right? They had in that backfield, they had L.D. Brown, they had Chuba Hubbard, Justice Hill, had King. They had four tailbacks at the same time. They put two of them on the field at the same time, and they would use one of them to get to the second level to outmaneuver the Texas linebackers. They use a ton of misdirection to do it. And I was sure Yurcich was going to come in here and do the same thing with Rojo and Bijan and Keyonte Ingram they had at the time. And we didn't see it until the very last game of the season. And I counted it throughout the season. Texas ran 12 plays with two tailbacks in the backfield. Six of them were victory formations last season. So that means six of those plays were actual plays they ran during the game. Four rushes. Actually, six plays for 82 yards, so 13.6 yards per play. Still, when they only ran a few times, yeah. but when they had two tailbacks in the backfield, because they have talented tailbacks, it allowed them to be able to effectively, efficiently still move the football and get chunk yardage plays. So I'm hoping Sark's going to do that, too. He's got a history of it with the Atlanta Falcons. He had Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman in the backfield at the same time, trying to mimic what Shanahan was doing off those two back sets as well.
Yep.
I'm glad you talked personnel groupings, because the final cut I want to play from Steve Sarkisian during this segment has to do with personnel groupings. And he was asked if he's going to be married to 11 personnel or 20 personnel or 12 personnel, whatever. And here's Steve Sarkisian talking about that.
I don't try to pin us down and say we are this or just that. I mean, I have a firm belief the more things we do really well, the harder we are to stop. And so if we've got 10, 11, 12, 21 personnel, 13 personnel, shoot, I want defenses to try to have to prepare for all that. But the key to that is making sure that we can operate in all those different things. And so that's what all this is for. But I do believe in the more things we do well, the harder we are to defend. And so we try to put a lot on the guys and see how much they can, you know, they can swallow and digest. And like I said, they've done a really nice job up until this point.
The more things we do well, the harder we are to defend.
Seems pretty simple.
Yep.
Right?
I love it. Tom Herman believed in the opposite of that.
I was about to say, remember what Tom Herman said a bunch last year and a bunch over his 4 years here?
Keep it simple.
We don't want to be a jack of all trades and a master of none.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How is that an excuse to not be multiple on offense? Limiting your creativity. Well, you're limiting your innovations. You're making it easier for opposing defenses to stop you by being married to the same philosophy and the same personnel grouping.
Yep. Yeah.
I couldn't believe he kept saying that over and over again. Like, at first it's like, okay, that's kind of cool. Like, it makes sense. You know, like, it's better to just master a couple of things than to just be okay at some things. But then, well, they didn't even master the one thing that they tried to master, and they didn't try anything else.
You know, by the way, you can't just have one thing you master. It's one thing if you want to say, you know what, we do four or five things really well. But you have to at least have four or five things. And it gets back to what Tom Herman was all about. Tom Herman was, we're going to try and run through the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can't, we're going to try and run through a little bit harder, right? And I like the fact that we're going to have some, a little bit of creativity and imagination. Oh, and I don't want to say trickery, but deception. That's okay offensively. You don't need to be that predictable. You know, we can play that game too. It's not just because you're getting five stars at Texas, they say, hey, because of that, you're going to have to really, really be simple.
Yeah. No, I've heard Tom Herman say things like, we don't want to have to need tempo, have to use tempo. And it's like,
that was the worst.
But nobody has to use tempo, but you realize it's a cheat code to give you an advantage.
We don't want
to
score 50 points a game. We don't want to do that. We don't want to have to score that much.
It's so,
we'd rather lose 24-21 than win 55-52.
This isn't Mensa. You can cheat.
It ain't even cheating. It's just giving yourself an advantage.
It's almost like he heard cheat code. It's like, no, we don't mean it like literally. Yeah. You're not going, the IRS didn't come in.
Well, that's a good point, though. I think
you should use cheat codes.
That's a good point, though. Psychologically, Tom Herman believed
we don't need it.
No, yeah, but he didn't need it because his teams were basically, they didn't have to sink to that level to use lots of pre-snap motion or use lots of tempo. So for some reason, he believed it degraded his style of football. He had it's not him that had the saying, people say it all the time, but, you know, culture eats strategy for lunch or culture eats strategy for breakfast. Tom Herman would always say that.
Yeah.
It's a great saying, but
I'm
not sure it's true all the time either. I would like a healthy mix of both, but I think he took the saying so literal sometimes. Like, no, culture is all I need. Strategy, we'll kill that strategy. We'll eat that strategy for lunch because my culture is better. And ironically, his culture was not better. His culture wasn't as good as he thought it was. So, I don't know.
Those types of comments are going to fit in well with the Bears. I can tell you that. just keep that train going along.
Just keep that train rolling. All right, we'll keep this train rolling. I want to continue talking Texas football. That's a good discussion. So, in Raj's rant of the day, we'll continue talking about Sark's comments that he's made during the spring about a lot of the players. He made a comment about the quarterback specifically that I want to get into about how he wants them to be less robotic. My man Kyle Shanahan, 2 years ago, actually used a similar phrase and a sentiment to describe quarterbacks, so maybe he'll bring some clarity to that situation. Also, we'll dive back into more of the talk about the personnel groupings, what the Steve Sarkisian offense may look like in 2021 with the Texas Longhorns. All that and more right here on the Triple Option with RBKD right here on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
No, you've got it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Time for Rod's Rant of the Day. And this will be kind of a gumbo, if you will. Be a mixed bag of different Longhorn football-related topics. Sark's been putting out some really interesting comments about how the players are progressing during spring ball. Also, his thoughts on certain aspects of what the offense is going to look like. And I think, truthfully, I'm not sure Sark knows exactly what his offense is going to look like, which I like. I it's strange. Unless you have a specific system that you're bringing in, I mean, I don't know if Sark is that kind of system coach. He has an offensive identity, right, that he brings with him. But I don't know if he's married to that system, married to a personnel package, married to a specific formation. I think Tom Herman, and I know bringing up Tom Herman a lot, people don't like that. But we'll be talking about Tom Herman because that's what, you know, that's our reference point, if you will. Tom Herman was married to 11 personnel. He believed that this was the most effective personnel package for him, regardless of the talent and the players that he had on the field. Regardless of the roster, he believed, I got to have my 11 personnel. That's what is going to make my pro spread offense most effective. I don't know if
chips work around my style. I don't work around the chips.
Yeah, exactly. You should, but the whole point is you should be married to winning. Right?
Yes.
Not married to a system, married to a personnel package or formation. You should be married to winning. What does it take to win? And to win, you need to make sure that you're maximizing all the talent you have. So I think Sark's going to be, I think you're going to see a lot more variety. Sark's already hinted at that variety. Cade Brewer's talked about they're going to see a lot more 12 personnel. Not that Tom Herman and his staff didn't use a lot of 12 personnel last year. Last year, we saw they actually did venture out for the first time since Tom Herman was on campus as the head coach. They actually played another personnel package prominently enough for it to actually be considered another type of formation or personnel package. Honestly, 11 personnel Tom Herman played usually 80 to 90% of the time until last year when he decided to break out some 12 personnel. You're going to see more of that with Sark, and he's hinting that you're going to see two back formations too, and we'll get into that here in just a second. But first, the quarterback position, right? That's going to determine ultimately what the offense looks like, what kind of offense it is who wins the quarterback position, because Sark is sure to tailor the offense to the strengths and weaknesses of that quarterback, whoever that quarterback is. Now, interestingly, today he made a comment about the quarterbacks. I got it from several different sources. My man Westcott Eberts, also I got it from him. I think Anwar Richardson threw this quote out there. I saw Kirk Bowles throw it out there, too. The quote is, the tweet at reads as Casey Thompson and Hudson Card get more acclimated to the new offense, Steve Sarkisian wants them to play less robotic, which he believes will happen with more reps. But I'm pleased with where we're at the position, Sark said. But he wants them to play less robotic.
I'm so glad he used that term. I don't know if you guys remember. I know you did on postgame. That I use that a lot to describe some of the different players, not quarterbacks necessarily.
Oh, yeah, other players could be,
but other players just, it looked robotic.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, no, I totally agree.
Like, and I'm carrying out what he told me, and there's not anything in between that where I'm just a player.
Your instincts, all those different things that should take over. So
you talked about that with Dwayne Aquino a lot. He gave me the tools, but I got to go out there and use them and play.
Yeah, Coach Aquino would always say, listen, guys, I'm not going to tell you how to cover a certain route. I'm not going to tell you how to play corner. I'm going to give you a whole lot of resources. I'm going to give you tools, and you'll have to decide based on the situation, down, distance, the circumstance you're in, when you need to open your hips, when you need to flip your hips, when you need to lean into the receiver and play his eyes, when you need to do the look and lean, all those different things he taught you. I can't tell you when to use it because then I'm making you a robot. One of my beliefs was that last year that Chris Ash and the defense, they were often, and I said this before, they were telling the corner specifically how to play every type of route.
You did, yeah.
And you can't do that.
Right.
Because Deshaun Jameson going to play it different than Rod B. Nasty Nate plays routes different than Rod Babers because Nasty Nate's better than Rod Babers.
We didn't know where Nate was, but the ball would find him.
Exactly.
What do you do? Oh, never mind.
Nasty Nate could really bait a quarterback into throwing a pick. I couldn't because I wasn't that in tune with really my ball hawkishness, if you will, right? I didn't have that natural instinct and ability like Nasty Nate did. Quentin Jammer, basically, once he got his hands on you, the play was over.
It was over.
So that's why we emphasize the bump and run. It's like, well, if we can get Quentin Jammer, we know he's going to shut down half the side of the field. Everybody back then was playing 21 personnel, for God's sakes. Right. Nobody's playing spread back then, really. And so we met Oklahoma, and they're basically playing the air raid. So, yeah, let him shut down half the field, and then we'll see if this young buck, Rod Babers, can get better. And that's what happened. All right, I was exposed the other corner at one time. But then we both played bump and run, perfected it. And then Texas defense took off from there. But everybody's got to play routes differently. You can't tell anybody how to do. You can't make a player into a robot. So that's what Sark's trying to say. And Sark played the quarterback position, so he knows there is a lot of nuance and there's a lot of instinct in between the actual play call and the execution of the play. There's a lot of stuff in between. So my man Kyle Shanahan, who we all respect, and we've talked about Kyle Shanahan a lot here. We've all even admitted we're not big fans of McCorkle Jones being taken at the number 3 overall pick. But that's his name, by the way.
Yeah.
It's McCorkle. I mean, people don't know that.
Good call going by Mac.
I'd go Mac, too,
Wouldn't draft the kid name. I wouldn't draft anybody named McCorkle.
I wouldn't go Mac. I'd go with the middle name because then people would be like, what is Mac short for? I don't even want to answer that question.
What's his middle name?
I don't care.
It doesn't matter what it is. It can be Chadwick. I'll take it.
By the way, I'd take Mick before I'd take McCorkle.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you're right. Mick is better than McCorkle. I don't know why his parents named him McCorkle. Anyway, I digress.
Gotta be a grandfather.
I think Sark's talking about just people, really players in general, right? He wants them to be less robotic. So here is the quote from Kyle Shanahan. This is from three years ago, 2018. When he's talking about Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm assuming, right? And he refers to it in a different way than Steve Sarkisian. Steve Sarkisian says he doesn't want you to be a robot. But my man Shannon says you have to be able to overcome coaching as a player. Never heard anybody say it like this, but it sounds just like my boy Shannon because he's humble enough to admit he's not the end-all, be-all. He's not the most knowledgeable, the alpha and omega coach out there. He's not Bill Walsh. Every now and then, I'm going to be human and mess up. I need my player to bail me out. This is probably why he wants another quarterback other than Jimmy Garoppolo. Even though Jimmy's been really good, he needs a quarterback that can bail him out every now and then because he's fallible.
Yeah, so Jimmy G has a great game when Kyle has a great game.
Exactly, right? So here's Kyle Shanahan's quote about being robotic. They asked him to explain what overcoaching means. And Shanahan says, quote, it's a nice way of trying to tell a player, don't be a robot, you know? Coach, that's what you told me to do. Well, yeah, I drew it up on paper versus cover three, and you got cover two. It's not the exact same. Now you've got to do this. Sometimes you've got to overcome coaching. I apologize for not calling it versus the right coverage. But when you don't know, now you've got to overcome my mistake or that I'm not as good as you. It's just a nicer way to me of saying, hey, don't be a robot. Try to be a football player. That's huge. That's what guys do. In man coverage, you have certain routes and certain depths because you better get to 10 yards and break to like a 20-yard depth on the hash or get over certain zoning linebackers. That's what it's drawn up for on paper. What happens when you get bump and run coverage? There's no underneath linebackers and the guy's jamming the heck out of you. Well, there's a timing element. You better not get all the way to 10. Then you have to break to 20. We're all going to get sacked. It's taking a lot longer. Break that off sooner. You have to know the timing and when you're trying to get rid of the ball. Now it isn't an issue. There are no zoning linebackers, so that's not a problem. But then you go do that versus zone. Then the next play, you're underneath linebackers instead of over the top of them. Things change. In order to play in the NFL, you can't be a robot. You do have to overcome coaching sometimes. End quote. You have to overcome coaching. I have never heard anybody put it like that. That's what Sark is essentially saying about these quarterbacks and saying they got to be less robotic. You got to overcome the coaching. I know in the meeting room I told you A, B, C, D. I know I told you to process it in that order. But I can tell you right now, in the game, the circumstance is not going to play out A, B, and C. You might have to skip step B.
Mm-hmm.
You might have to decide, no, I'm putting step C before step A because you told me I was going to see two deep safeties, and I know that other safety, that Brownie safety is coming down, and he's going to cheat up. So once he cheats up, coach, that's when I'm going to look to the backside. I know the backside read was my secondary read, but now I'm going to make it my primary read. Mm-hmm. You got to know
that. It goes to B, D, A, C because of different coverage.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But like, he's depending on you to figure it out. What Shano's saying is I'm not going to call the perfect play every time.
Yeah, they disguise a blitz. They bring somebody else.
Right.
You got to go through your progressions a little quicker. You might have to go out of order a little bit.
Yeah. Like,
I like that, man.
I didn't expect a corner blitz coming. Well, it came.
It came. What are you going to do now?
Right.
Are you going to throw? I
can't change the play mid-play.
Right. Yeah.
Timeout.
And he's talking about,
like
no,
kids.
He is. What do you know? He's talking, and we brought this up yesterday, talking about Bill Walsh and how Bill Walsh described this innate quality, right? This certain instinct that he wants his quarterbacks to have, this real athletic instinct. It really this intangible quality. He called it, I want to get the quote from Bill Walsh. he called it an instinctive, spontaneous, natural response to situations. Sounds like a Stanford guy. But I think they're talking about the same thing. I think he's talking about the same exact thing. The instinctive, spontaneous, natural response situations is the same as don't play like a robot. Same as Shannon saying, overcome coaching. All right. You got to overcome coaching. And that goes back to the natural instincts. And that also goes back to, you know, that it quality about quarterbacks that you just can't really measure. But I'm glad Sark, who is a quarterback guy, all right, who understands, even though one of these quarterbacks may be winning the quarterback competition in practice, doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be the best quarterback in the games.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about practice, man.
Because you are James talking Brown. About practice, man, where they don't have no green jersey on. And some quarterbacks respond well when the green jersey's on because they know they can't get hit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They know it's a reality they can't get hit. They can't get touched. And you'd be amazed how savvy they are in the pocket when they know they can't get hit or touched. Man, they look so good in the pocket. They're so savvy. They're moving around.
Going through progressing.
Yeah,
we're good.
It's like amazing. And then you get in the game and he's scared to death. Because the dude on the other side is purposely trying to hurt him. And that psychologically screws up some quarterbacks.
Yeah.
It just does.
Kevin James called the play.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think Sark's going to be looking for all those things. I don't know if Casey Thompson's got more of that or Hudson Card's got more of that. From what I heard, Casey Thompson's your film rat. He's the guy that's getting his advantage more schematically with the X's and O's, trying to know down to down. His process is going to be flawless. From what I hear, Hudson Card's your ideal physical manifestation of a quarterback. Can make it in terms of the arm you want, the
right.
physical tools, the body, he can do it all. But we all know.
One thing we know with Casey, though, we've seen live bullets. Only for a half, but we've seen it.
We've seen it. And he looked damn good in it.
He looked comfortable.
So I don't know who's going to win the quarterback competition, but I thought that was interesting to bring up the robotic comment and what my interpretation of it means. I think he means with the same thing that Shano means, same thing that Bill Walsh talked about, overcoming bad coaching. or that instinctive, spontaneous response. Some guy, and
I love the humbleness.
It is. Who has a guy like Shannon to say, hey, man, I'm going to screw up every now and then. I need you to go out there and make a damn play.
You guys have said the same thing to me, and I appreciate it. No. You know that you're going to mess up, and I'm going to have your back, and I'm going to read
though.
Stuff.
Exactly. It is true. No, it is true. We all going to screw up.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when I do, don't leave me, don't hang
too.
Me out to dry.
Speak for yourselves.
I need you to have my back. So I think that's ultimately what he said.
Yeah, I've never screwed up. I'm also the most humble person on this show.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I like that, though. It's great stuff, Rod B. Talking quarterbacks, some of the Steve Sarkisian logic behind the quarterback position, too.
You treat your coworkers like Ellen DeGeneres.
Ah, well done there. Hey, the comp is very fitting.
It is very fitting.
It is very
Hey, quickly,
fitting.
I know we're on a break here. Do y'all think, you said earlier, do you think you have to change your offense up that much with both those guys? Depending on who starts.
No.
You change
no.
it up a little bit.
A little bit, but no. I mean, it depends
this
on.
This isn't Sims, Applewhite, or.
Exactly. All those guys, both of those guys can do similar things.
I think the one biggest difference would be Hudson Card's mobility, and Sark is not a QB run guy. And I don't think Sark's going to change overnight just because he has a quarterback who can run a little bit. So, no, to answer the question.
They both can run, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, Casey can run, too. I think Hudson Card's more of an athlete.
But Hudson can run.
He can.
He can run.
There you go.
run.
Thank you, Dion.
Who's faster, Casey Thompson or Hudson Card?
I would guess Casey. Or, I'm sorry, I would guess Hudson.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would guess Hudson, too.
Okay. I don't know. I'm asking. Mm. I'm looking up 40 times. If y'all are wrong, calling y'all out.
All right. Hudson played receiver.
Final answer. Hudson
Card. Okay.
337-3776 is the Specs text line. It's the triple option with RBKD. When we return, today was a pretty damn good day for Chris Beard and Texas basketball. We'll run down all of the roster happenings on the 40. Next.
Hungry eyes.
Got him.
You got me.
Oh, you got KD karaoke?
Oh.
Yeah!
Hungry eyes.
I saw him get ready for the chorus. I had to turn the mic on.
He saw me, man.
I knew he was about to blare
love this
it out.
Song. Eric Carmen.
Eric Carmen.
Nice.
We were talking about
86.
This song earlier this week or last week for some reason.
Yeah, you're right. I do remember this coming up.
Because I didn't say hungry eyes. I said something that he's got like serial killer eyes or something like that.
And
then you dropped it. He goes, is that the same guy who did Eric Carmen, same dude, Hungry Eyes?
This is 1987, KD. 1 year off.
I said 87, then 86.
Oh, my bad. I didn't hear 87. Okay.
I'll take the two options.
Yeah, that's messed up.
That's
you only
get
one guess.
Well, actually,
swept A&M in College Station, and Eric Stone struck out the last guy on Sunday.
Was this song started playing?
I mean, it just takes me back there.
No, it probably did. When a song comes out, it depends on what time of the year it comes out. Sometimes it does cross over, basically.
You know,
and it'll come out in late 87, and then we're still jamming it in 88, man. I'm still jamming Hungry Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will.
I'm still jamming it in 2021.
Hey, I'm
on now.
It's on a safari if you want to check.
Hungry Eyes.
There we go, Rod.
Wow. No, it's all right.
How about Eric Carmen?
Good to hear you. Good to hear you coming to the 80s.
I'm not giving us your bit. KD Karaoke is your bit.
No, I like you doing it too.
How about Eric Carmen playing Rod Babers in a horn movie? Would that work?
Is that a white dude?
I think so.
Yeah, he's very white.
He's got to do blackface, and that's not going to fly this day. He's going to get canceled. You know what the man to get canceled.
Only Robert Downey Jr. can get away with that.
He's the only one.
For some reason.
Although Eric Carmen would say, I didn't do anything wrong and I still got canceled.
Oh, I like his, is that Eric? I like his hair.
Yeah.
Oh, back in the day, not now. Though.
Right.
Back in the day, it was cool.
I have actually no idea what Eric Carmen looks like.
First time I've seen him.
I don't think I've ever seen a picture of him.
He looks a lot more like a woman the older he's.
He is very, yes, I agree. Very metrosexual.
Yeah. I don't know if he's playing a woman there.
Mm.
I'm sure he played a lot of women in 87, though.
You damn right he
did. That song, absolutely.
In the 80s, probably women and men. It's all good back then. Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yes, sir. All right, it's a Texas basketball conversation. Gentlemen, by the way, about 20 minutes left in today's program, because at 6:15, we will send you off to Texas baseball. The Longhorns taking on Nevada, the first of a two-game series between the Horns and Wolfpack. So we'll preview that game in our next segment. But guys, a very, very successful day for Chris Beard. Three stories that have dropped since we got off the air yesterday. Andrew Jones announced earlier today that he is coming back. Jace Febres announced last night that he is coming back. Both of those guys using their COVID eligibility years to return for an extra season. And Devin Askew transferring in from Kentucky. He was a five-star point guard, was a freshman at Kentucky last year, averaged 6.5 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists a game for the Wildcats. He announced earlier today that he is transferring to Texas. So, KD, we've been trying to figure out what Chris Beard's roster is going to look like next season. Still a lot of questions, still a lot of holes to fill, but we got some answers today, and there's some pretty good answers.
Yeah, today was a really good day for Texas basketball. I said to start off the show, it's been a long time since I was this excited about Texas basketball at this time. Naturally, I'm just one of those people, once the sport gets close, I just get, just maybe because it's habit, I get excited whether the team's going to be good or not, but especially if they're going to be good. But a lot of that has to do with Beard and the staff he's built. But the fact that this is not going to be a rebuild, and we'll see what else they add. But I feel pretty good that if Greg Brown comes back, and then, God, I'm not saying he's leaning because I have no idea, but if Jericho Sims came back to give them size, to go with the guys they've got, I think this could be a competitive team. One name I want to add, too, because Adam Zagoria from New York Times, he had said, you know, Devin Askew's going to transfer to Texas, and he said Texas also remains heavily in the mix for Utah transfer Timmy Allen.
Okay.
So what can you tell us about Timmy Allen? How would that play into this? I'm sorry.
You really put me on the spot.
I know
there.
Because you know pretty much every single college basketball player.
I'm trying to think.
So there's a lot of them.
I'm stalling here.
Yeah, there's a ton in the transfer portal. Right
yeah,
now, too.
There's 1,200 plus in the portal.
Exactly.
I just Ellen DeGeneres to you.
I know. Let me think. But good news, though, Rod B., getting these three guys into Chris Beard's program.
Yeah, it is good news. And speaking of, since you're throwing out possibilities, I will say Chip Brown did bring up in his morning brew piece to keep an eye on Vanderbilt sophomore big man Dylan Dysu.
Dysu? Yeah.
The SEC's leading rebounder as possible transfer.
Okay, that'd be size.
Too. He's from Pflugerville. He's a Pflugerville nice. Hendrickson product, so it'd be coming closer to home.
Yeah.
You obviously a little bit more familiar. Is this a possibility?
He's awesome.
It really? Is that okay?
I love the kid. Great kid, incredibly smart, talented as hell. Would be a huge, huge get for Chris Beard. To me, there's a chance that Dylan Dysu tests the NBA draft waters. Like, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he declared but did not hire an agent, so he'll have the ability
like
to
McClung.
Come back to school for another year, kind of like Mac McClung. Mm. But, yeah, I mean, Vanderbilt basketball is going nowhere, so maybe Dysu decides he wants to come to a better program, decides he wants to return close to home. Great kid, fantastic player. I thought he was going to be good in college. He's been even better than I thought. He's very long, the leading rebounder in the SEC, as you mentioned, but he can also create for himself and for others. High basketball IQ, high motor kid. That would excite the hell out of me if that could happen. And yes, I am hearing there is a chance that that does happen.
That would
be awesome.
That would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. By the way, Allen is a 6'5", 200-pound small forward, so it would not add
I should have just
size.
Said wing, you know?
I know.
I feel like that's a safe guess in today's basketball.
Guess.
Yeah, he's a wing.
He's a wing.
Is he a guard or a forward? Ah, he's a wing. He's he can play both.
I thought he's 6'11". Yeah, he's a wing.
Yeah. So I love that Andrew Jones is coming back, though.
That's big, man.
He's 23. He's going to turn 24 during the season.
That in that sport.
Very
it's mature.
Old.
Mature, you're right.
Yeah.
Like us.
Yes, sure.
More mature than I am, I would argue.
No, we're not very mature.
All
even
of us,
we're old.
Yeah.
KD, you mentioned that, I mean, 23 is not just old for current college basketball. That's old for any.
That would have been old 1976.
College basketball. But Andrew Jones did lead Texas in scoring last year, hit a couple of huge shots. Of course, the game winner in Morgantown comes to mind. Big moments for Texas last year. One of the best stories in Texas athletics history, so you'd love being able to root for that kid for another year on the 40 acres. And then Jace Fabris only played in 13 games last season because he was rehabbing from that knee injury he suffered at the end of the 1920 season.
Yeah.
But came off the bench, had some big moments for Texas.
Yeah.
I think of the Big 12 tournament game against Texas Tech where he hit 5 threes, right? Had 15 points in that Longhorns victory over Chris Beard and Texas Tech. He's a guy who's started more than 60 games at Texas. He started 17 games as a freshman, 21 as a sophomore, and he started all 23 games as a junior before he got hurt a couple of years ago. So I don't know if he's going to start for Texas next year, but he's a guy who's got a lot of experience. And Rod B., you can't have too many three-point shooters. And when Jace Fabris is on, he's one of the better three-point shooters in this conference.
Yeah, no, I think that's great, too. And I love the fact that you're going to get, you know, Andrew Jones, that leadership back with him. We don't know what Jace Fabris, you know, was going to be last year. He was in such a weird spot coming off the microfracture surgery.
That was more serious, I think, than I thought.
I don't know if anybody knew how serious it was. Yeah, and I don't know if he ever really fully got back into a groove and actually, you know, really this year got a chance to develop and improve. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, how he develops coming back. And Courtney Ramey and Greg Brown, still waiting to see if those guys are influenced by, you know, Chris Beard's arrival here at Texas. For Greg Brown, do we think that Greg Brown should come back to Texas? I know everybody wants him to come back. Do we think he should come back?
Yes, I do.
Because he's still going to get drafted in the first round.
He's still going to get drafted, but if he develops a little bit, he could be that lottery pick next year. And I do think that's enough separation for 1 year because he's going to be developing in the G League anyway. So yeah, you could say he could get paid there, but he actually could make more money in that 1 year because of how much he goes up. Is that fair?
Yeah, it is fair. I'm just worried he's going to drop his draft stock.
Mm. Well.
I'm worried. Like, what? Okay, what?
That's
is this?
Life. So you weren't able to rob the bank.
That's what I'm saying. What if this is your apex?
Okay.
Shouldn't you go cash in?
Yeah.
You should.
Like, what if
you should cash in? But that was going to be your lot in life anyway. So maybe you just got what you actually deserved.
Yeah, but you come back to school now, and
you weren't able to rob the bank,
and you're further exposed. You might not get drafted in the first two rounds. You might go from a guy that was going to be a lottery pick.
I get what you're saying. You're just talking about all personal for him and finances.
I think that's what I'm saying. I think you got to go.
It's a risk. No doubt. It's a risk.
It is a risk. But you know what? If he believes in his talent, he knows that last year was an aberration. That was an outlier. Then great. Yeah. But it could also be a start of a trend.
It is. By the way, everything you said is part of the bug in the system that I talk about is that it's, well, go take advantage of it before they find out who you really are.
Yeah.
Industry shouldn't work like that.
They don't, but they do.
They
shouldn't, but they do. So I'm just saying you might need to go cash that lottery ticket before it expires.
Well, I'm going to be Utopia Yuri here and tell you what I'd really like to have.
That's not an expression.
That is. He's coaching for Texas. Yuri? Yurik?
Yurik Melegi.
Melegi?
Melegi.
Yeah. Way to pull that one out of your ass. 337-3776 is the Specs text line. We have one segment left. We'll set the stage for Texas Longhorn Baseball next.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash?
Oh, yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really
man,
good.
That's good.
Pop a top again.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Time to wrap things up. We're going to put it in the oven. Before we're done, we'll let you know what's on tap for tonight. We're off early because we're giving up to Texas baseball. They're taking on the Nevada Wolf Pack tonight. 6:15 pregame, 6:30 first pitch. And we're just watching Ivan Melendez. Everybody's watching him. 6 straight games with a home run. He's got 7, actually, in the last 6 games. Will he continue the streak? Gentlemen, first question before we wrap things up. BK, will Ivan Melendez, the Latino Bambino, will he continue to earn his nickname?
Of course he will.
Done deal?
He's never going to stop.
He's never going to stop.
He's going to hit a home run in every game the rest of the season and all the way through to Omaha, through the championship series.
I wish.
Mm-hmm.
He wishes, too.
Yeah, we all wish.
Yeah.
So during the stretch, he's 18 for 31, 18 ribbies, 7 homers, 4 walks, does have the 7 Ks. I've never seen a power stretch like this for a week or 2 weeks, and I've watched a lot of Texas baseball. I hope he goes yard. Of course, I hope he goes yard. But I would almost be more impressed if we come in tomorrow and he didn't have a plate appearance. Didn't have an at-bat, I should say. He'd have played it.
They just walk him 5 times.
Yeah.
Or if they're pitching around him and he said, you know what? I'm not going to chase it. I'll take the 5 walks.
Nah, chase it, Ivan.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to chase it, too, especially if they're up 8-2.
I mean, hell, that ball he hit over the Green Monster in center field, that pitch probably not outside the zone, but it was on the outer half.
Yeah.
And he still raked it. So anything close, it feels like he has the ability to maybe put it into the seats right now. Ridiculous, man. Fun to watch. And Nevada's not a good baseball team. They don't have great pitchers. So this is worse competition than who Ivan Melendez has faced the last couple of games.
Just don't pitch to
there's
him.
There's a chance.
Yeah.
No, pitch to him. Come on, pitch to him.
I wouldn't pitch to him if I was them.
Yeah,
he's
don't
got two more to go, so we'll see. The good thing, though, is that the Texas lineup is pretty damn good around that. So in Nevada, like BK mentioned, there's not a great pitching staff. So they just may have to pick their poison if they get Melendez up there with the bases loaded, no one out.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Barry Bonds, you walk him.
Brooks Kieschnick, a couple coaches in the Southwest Conference back in the day said, if I get in that position, I'm walking him.
Did that ever happen?
I don't remember. Okay. Y'all help me out, but I don't remember him ever being walked to walk in a run. But there were coaches that said, no, seriously, I would do that. I mean, assuming we're up 3 or 4, I'm not going to do it if it's a tie game.
Right.
But if we're up and there's 2 outs, I'm not going to let him hit a grand slam and win the game.
That's fair.
Hey, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You got to check out all the shows, and don't forget, get to hornfm.com if you want to podcast all of them. But Light the Tower with Craig, Jeff, and Snoop. They're doing a great job. They're going to have Chris Beard on tomorrow
at
11:20. Bearded up, baby. Mm,
that's pretty good.
It's the one question you'd ask Chris Beard, BK.
Are you going to have a beard next season?
Really?
No.
Okay.
That's the one question?
That'd be the shock of hair question if he was still here.
What is the one question I would ask?
That's a good question. That's a good question. What is the one question?
We got one, Rod?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, right now, that's tough. I don't have one right now. Yeah, that's good.
I think I would ask him, okay, if Greg Brown comes back, how would you use him?
I mean, I would ask what his biggest need is. Okay. Or I would say, you know, when your head hits the pillow tonight, what's the thing that keeps you up?
That's a good question.
That is a good question.
Yeah.
Like just with this basketball team and with this basketball program right now, be something like that. I mean, there's a lot I would want to ask him, but I know Craig and Jeff are going to knock it out the park.
They will.
And we'll play some of that audio during our show tomorrow, too. So if you can't catch it in real time, we'll definitely have some Chris Beard for you.
For shizzle.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully you enjoy the Longhorn talk and just all the sports talk that we had. We'll be back tomorrow. Don't forget Longhorn Blitz podcast after the baseball game. So we'll have more Texas football talk to go. All right, Ivan. Let's go, brother. Come on, Nevada. Don't be a bunch of wimps. You came down here to actually give some entertainment. Throw a couple up there. If you want to hang a couple, hang a couple. I really hope we're talking about 7 homers in a row tomorrow. We'll be talking about it either way. For Rod and for BK, I'm Kevin. It's Texas baseball time. Hook 'em. Peace, y'all.